are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Well, you know, with that little you all that you just gave to me, I just made me better instantly.
Great.
You know something, Samantha? That reminds me of one time I was on the telephone with somebody who was from, I think she's North or South Carolina. And she, of course, you know, I said, well, what, you know, which part of the country are you from with that drawl? She goes, what makes you think I'm the one that has the drawl? And I never thought about that. I don't think Californian people have a drawl, do we?
I wouldn't know. I'm like.
No, I like it a lot. Anyway, I'm doing fine. How about you?
We're good. We're just here, you know, hanging in tight with all the crazy changes and just staying positive.
Yeah, that's about all you can do. I think you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, we're out here in a crazy-ass blue state, and you guys are in a red state, right?
Yes, sir.
Are your gyms open? Are they trying to hold you
hostage? Gyms are open, yes. They're, I think, at least 50%, I believe, now. They might be a little bit more.
Yeah.
So.
That's good. You know, I was lucky because I have a personal training studio.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I do, in addition to personal training, I do stroke rehab because, you know, I had three strokes 8 years ago that paralyzed me.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, so I got into that because I recovered myself because of what I knew from bodybuilding. That saved
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
You know, I went to a rehab specialist, and after the first consultation, I never went back again because they made a mistake and they said, well, we want to get you back to functional. And my goal was to be 100%. And so I just said, no, hell no. If I didn't have my background, I wouldn't have done it. But I did all my own rehab and I just used my knowledge from the sport. As you know, as a competitor.
Exactly. We took what we knew and you applied it to your life and your situation.
Exactly right. And that's what I did. So I do that in my studio. And then we also do, I call it therapeutic training for people who have bad necks and low backs and that kind of thing. Well, that saved me because they've shut down all the gyms around here. A couple of them have started to open up. But because I was I set myself apart as a studio by appointment only. It was private. I never missed a beat. In fact, our business is doing very well, you know, so we were lucky, but, you know, but I didn't know how much it impacted you. Are you doing personal training at all?
Yes, sir. I've been personal training for over 15 years. So when this happened, we were in a gym.
Okay.
You know, day to day. So I completely switched everything to virtual.
Oh,
so
really?
I've been doing everything FaceTime and Messenger live like this and just went inside.
And how's that worked out for you?
It has been amazing. I've been really? Very blessed. You know, things just kind of moved along, just a couple trying to adjust things, you know, on the fly, and then just picked right back up 2 days later and said, all right, this is how we're doing it. And
yeah.
it's been flowing and going great. I couldn't be happier.
Let me ask you this because, you know, I'm still of that.
Now I'm looking to actually, we're actually in the, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Actually going to say we are actually in the process during all this to kind of in the process of looking and opening our own personal training studio. So,
okay.
And gyms. So that's kind of what we've been up to quietly. So.
Yeah. My question to you is this, because I've always had a brick and mortar place. Always. I've been in it for now 38 years. And I know that there's a lot of trainers out there that are doing this stuff online. And it sounds like you're doing that too. But my question is this. I just have a hard time believing, and maybe you can convince me and maybe I can learn from you. I have a hard time believing that you can hold people accountable as well doing online training as opposed to them being in front of you as far as in the gym and you putting them through a workout. How do you keep people accountable in what you're doing? Tell me what your strategy is.
Slowly, personally, send them their workout. And I hold them just like our schedule. So say we're 10 o'clock in the morning, I call you virtually FaceTime or through Messenger and hold you accountable that way. And so I'm with you right there. You set me up just like I have you set up wherever you're at. I've been, and outside and bathrooms, you know, wherever you're at, wherever your gym setting is in your house, that's where I'm at. And that's where I meet everybody. And I just tailor the workout specifically to what that person has and have made it efficient. And they are, hands down, everybody has done remarkably well with the home trainings. Like, they love it. They're ready to go. They're seeing results. You know, you just push them just like you're sitting there with them. Like, I feel like I'm right across from you, like we were in Vegas, you know, but that's just the feeling. And you just feed that same personality and flow that you are in that gym straight, just like we are now. And that's what I've been doing for everybody and keeping them accountable, just like it's a normal day and having them write everything. So okay. I've kept it exactly the same. It's just, we're virtual. And I actually think from the gym I came from, this is actually a little bit more exclusive. So it's a little bit more private, kind of like you said, your studio. Yeah. So it's a little bit more privately without all the extra distractions. So for my people, it's actually made it a little bit better, I would say, for them. Just a little bit of having that motivation and encouragement just to being solely me and them.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian power burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Yeah. Are you, is it only one-on-one or are you able to do groups?
I've been able to do groups, but most of mine are individual one-on-one clients. I do have a couple that I do a couple with, but mainly it's all one-on-one because that's what they prefer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I might have to, I know that we're actually moving into more of this online type of training because our studio is actually, you know, busy in some hours that we can't really take any more people.
Exactly.
But I've never been successful at the online stuff.
Hey, it's a whole new world, Leo. Like, I'll be honest, after over 15 years being into the gym every day from morning, 4 a.m. till evening, to transition to the inside, let me tell you, that was a little different for me.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, I'm like, so it's been a nice change, you know, it's been a whole different environment, but it's like embracing it kind of with the times going. And so that's kind of what I did and I'm loving it.
Yeah. Well, I think what helps is because of what happened. People don't have, I mean, their options are not, I can't go to the gym anymore, so I have to do this instead.
And see, what I personally did is I told everybody, like some of the ones that were kind of leery of it, I was like, look, I'll give you one on me so you can see how it is. And then we'll go from there. And that's been one of the big selling points for them is, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought. Yes, it's hard, but you know, they see the, that it's not easy, that it's hard. It's just as hard at home as it is at the gym.
Yeah.
So and they know they're being pushed either way.
Yeah, and which leads me into one of the reasons why I've been around this thing for 1,000 years, and I've been through a lot. You know, you go through stuff. You have things like, we haven't had things like a pandemic, for goodness sake, but I mean, there's been other things. You know, we had the Hong Kong flu, and there's been things throughout my career, downturn in economies. I've never had a deficit with clientele, and part of the reason, and which is the question I'm going to ask you, part of the reason for me is that my clients, I've always known that their results are as important to them, to me, as they are to them. And I've never had a deficit in clientele. Even when times are bad, people stood with me. And so my question to you is, how do you really keep your people accountable, and do they know that Samantha's not joking around? If you're going to come on and work with Samantha, you better be ready or don't show up. Is that kind of how you initially approach that in an eloquent way?
Yes. Yes. Because honestly, I make them accountable by weighing every day.
Ah.
The famous scale. I don't use it as the goal of a weight attainable. I use it with my program for how I formulate my nutrition and the workout programs together. And I make you weigh to hold yourself accountable by what you're putting in your mouth and how the body responds to it.
Yeah, that's good.
So I make them track everything. They might not like it, but it really shows you how the body responds, and it keeps you accountable for what you're eating on the times that you're not training or you're not being held accountable to your trainer per se.
Yeah.
So it makes you write it, see it, and then account to me, hey, this is where I'm at. And then I can go back a few days and see what they had. So I do keep them accountable by that.
It all starts with you, to be honest. You know, they need to know right off the bat. What I do is I have them sign a good faith contract, and I sign it too. And they already know that because I'm going to follow through as their trainer.
Exactly.
Okay. And if I don't, you're going to get your money back. That's how much I believe in this, because I know that you're going to, unless you have a medical condition, you know, or some reason, valid reason like that, you will make the results. I already know that. You know that because look at you. You already know that, you know, if I follow what you're telling me, I'm going to get results.
Exactly. And another thing, I don't mean to interject, because I wasn't sure. I also, besides the scale accountability, I make them set goals every 4 to 6 weeks of where they want to attain. And I hold them to that regard.
That's a good idea.
I make them, and I even tell them, look, you might not like this, but I'm going to make you measure yourself, take pictures, because we're going to have progress. So I also do that as well to hold them accountable, and holds me accountable. Say, hey, this is what your goal said. And if you're not going to follow it, if you're going to cheat, then you're going to have to do more.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I hold them accountable, is by making them set their goals in a reasonable time manner.
I take it a step further with that good faith contract. It's written in there, and they sign it. And I say, look, if it gets to the point where you start becoming inconsistent and you're not responding to me, I will terminate your contract and you will not get your money back. So don't sign this unless you understand that, because I'm also willing to give you a money back. I'm willing to give you a double your money back guarantee because we decided.
It's like we believe in our program, and if they're going to follow it, we know that they're going to hit their goal.
Exactly.
It's like we're committed just as much as they are, but they have to be willing like we are to put in the time.
Yep. And it starts right from the beginning, because you know, people come to us because they can't do it themselves really.
So exactly. They want that little extra motivation, or that someone's there to kind of coach them along and give them that positive motivation or words to inspire them.
Or even tough love, you know?
Okay. We've given that a few times.
Yeah.
And I don't like doing that because that's really not my nature.
Yeah.
But I do give it when I have to. My husband, as you've met Jason, Jason kind of gives the tough love because he's my coach. He's my trainer, you know? So, and he shoots me straight. I'm going to shoot everybody else straight.
There you go.
It's like, I don't want you just to tell me, oh, I look good just so I can hear it. I want you to know you're busting your tail and you're on point.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I have a question for you. What are the balloons? It's your birthday or something, or what?
No, I just always try to keep my office bright. The different seasons, like Halloween's coming up, I'll decorate for Halloween.
Oh my.
So I had a bunch of balloons, and I just wanted to keep it bright. And usually I have neon or music playing on the background whenever I have clients that I'm training virtually. So I try to keep it bright and inviting, because at the gym where I was at, is I always decorated my office per season. So they always knew there was some type of brightness depending on what was going on.
You women think about everything.
I still try to share that with them virtually since we're not in the gym. So it just kind of keeps that smile and brightness.
You guys think about everything. You women, you. I love it. How about the guitar? Are you a guitar player, or is it Jason?
No. I am not a guitar player, but that was my first overall tested win. That in Texas. That was my first overall and a tested overall win. And that was a gift. And it was actually personally made for each of us, overall winners. And it was the 20th anniversary for the Texas Shredder.
That's the way they do it. That's the way they do it in Texas. That's a trophy right there, right?
Oh, it was. I love it. It's one of my favorites, to be honest, because it does. It represents us. I am country. Cowboy boots and hat and all. You saw that in Olympia.
Yes, I did. No, you definitely was somebody that I remembered for sure. Okay, so one of the things that stood out when I was reading through your bio is that you've been a pro champion, what, 6 times?
Yes, sir.
But that didn't stand out to me as much as, especially the way you look, because it's almost hard, too hard to believe that you get in that kind of shape and you don't do cardio, you know?
No cardio.
Okay, so how is that? Are you just, like, by nature, did you have already a body, you know, genetically a body?
Genetically, yes. I've always been gifted. I've always played sports. I played softball, volleyball, shot discus, powerlifting in high school. And then I went on, started training right after high school. I was going to college. And then I always had the passion to do it.
Yeah.
So I always said I was going to go all the way to the top the next thing I did after high school. So I just believe in eating clean, and I just tailored it back down to the basics and saw what I needed to do and worked my program, my training program, and with my foods and went back to the basics, because I know that if you go back to the basics and adding all the extra additives and stuff to it, that it would make my life simpler, because I didn't have all the time to do the cardio and some different things. So I just let my foods work for me and tailor it depending on what part of the season I'm in. For if I'm in off season or if I'm cutting down for a show, I just change it up depending on where I'm at in the season. I never let myself get over 25 pounds from stage. Kind of, I don't have a desired stage weight, but I try not to go between a 20-25 pound range from what I do, because I know how long it'll kind of take me to go back down.
Right.
You know, I just kind of go back and let the foods work depending on what part of the season I'm in.
Yeah.
For building or cutting.
Right. You know, in the 60s, that was really big. Bodybuilders didn't do much cardio at all. It was like that. Vince Gironda, these are some of the guys. I don't know if that name rings a bell, but he was called the Iron Guru. And I had the luxury and the honor of actually training in his gym in Studio City in California. But they didn't believe in doing cardio. They just like, they were like what you're talking about, you know?
I feel that, you know, I haven't had children yet. So I feel like right now I want to do the best that I can with my training program and my foods and let those work. So after children, if I have to, then I can put it in. Because I don't want to do something and then not be able to utilize it later to the best benefit. So I'm kind of holding on there in case I have to pull it out. But I know if you train and you eat right, you can do anything you put your mind to. So that's kind of my thought, is I try to make it simple and easy without all the extras. Because competition, and like, you know, getting ready and everything, it's the workouts, it's the eating. So it's like, I just focus on that and then still have our training job to focus on. So I just try to make it easy for my lifestyle and less stress on me and the body.
Which is a smart strategy. How many calories do you eat a day?
Personally, Leo, I don't count.
Oh, I hate you.
I don't count my calorie. I just, what I look to do is I have a square meal. I make sure I get my protein, good carbs in the mornings, get my complete meals, lean protein, good complex carb, a green at lunch. And then at dinner, I take it back to the basics of protein and a green. And then depending on where I'm at, if I rotate, as you know, with asparagus and lemon for your natural diuretics, I kind of rotate those in and let those work with my foods as well.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and you're just proving that. You know, like for me, it's totally the opposite. I weigh everything I have except for the weekends. On the weekends, I go off and eat whatever I want. There's nothing that's off the table.
Right.
You know, and then during the week, and I still do this. I still weigh my food during the week, but I don't, you're eating instinctively. And I just don't trust that with my food. I trust that in my training, not with my food.
I trust knowing like our program and our training. I know I'm gonna burn efficiently. And all foods aren't created equal and the same. Mm-hmm. So I know which ones for me work better during the day and the evening so that I utilize them. So I know, hey, I don't say, hey, I can't have this. Or I don't say, hey, I'm going to have a cheat meal. No, hey, I get my beef tonight. It's exciting, you know. Yeah. But I don't limit and say, oh, I'm going to have a cheat meal. Like, I don't look at it how you do on the weekends, eat Monday through Friday clean and then splurge on the weekends. Yeah. I'll go consistent until I know that as long as the body's coming down and I see it, I just trust the process and know that in the very end on that day, it's going to come in. So I just, like, I'm excited when I get those moments of, hey, you need a little beef to pump up, or hey, yeah, we're going to do this. So I like that trusting in the process.
Yeah.
That I know each year I've done even better, and we've went to the, I guess, the mold and re-sculpted each year and come out better and just changed up even the foods each year. Like, that's kind of how I've changed mine, you know, with our process.
Right.
And our blueprint is I just kind of change up our foods in off season and cutting as well with our program that we changed. So I just kind of believe in it and know that it works. And I trust in the Lord and it just goes.
Obviously it works. How about, do you have the same approach when it comes to training, or are you more regimented as far as body parts that you train? You train them a certain time, or do you just train how you feel? And
no, I train specific.
Okay.
I have a set plan and I don't deviate from it. So say I'm working body parts that week, it's like I will keep, if I have my setup, say back, chest, legs, I will set that day. I don't deviate.
See, that's you and I are just we're just the opposite. Now, my training, I have a template, but I train how I feel. There's some days that I know I have to do, you know, a few more reps, a few more sets. And sometimes I know that I have to come back the next day and train the same body part, you know, type thing.
I always take a break. Like, typically hard training, I always take a break in between training muscle groups so that I stay full. Yeah. And then I'll hit it again later a few days, like when I'm wanting my back to fill up and taper. Yeah. I'll wait a couple of days and re-hit back again.
Yeah.
You know, so there are body groups that I'll do twice. I just won't hit them per day, but I always kind of go in with a plan, even if I'm not feeling it. I always enjoy the feeling after.
Yeah, no,
I'm a little crazy like that. I like the pain.
Listen, anybody that's in the sport of bodybuilding or training like we are, we're a little bit tweaked in the head, and that's
we're a little off, a little off. People might think.
I think I'm a lot off in some ways because, you know, I do cardio, by the way, and I'm so off that I will not get off the bike even if it's only 30 seconds left. I won't. I just won't do it. Because I'm too damn mad after that I did that. You know, it's not even worth it.
I'm angry. And that's how I fill out my workouts. If I miss my workout, I am like done for the day. I'm like, all right, this ain't it. So I always start my day with my workout.
Yeah,
like, it's a must. It's like,
yeah.
So even if I'm not feeling good, I go in for it knowing I'm going to feel good after.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I tell my people, you know, of course, it's a different group that I deal with. And the majority of the people that we train in our, I have one facility left, and I still, that's my place that I go to.
Okay.
I'm still always trained early in the morning. I get up at 3:00 every morning. I sleep, when I sleep in, it's like at four, I go to 4:30 on the weekend.
Exactly.
But I get up like an idiot. I've been doing this for so many years that I go to my gym that early in the morning, no one's around, and that's the way I like it. Whether I'm feeling good or not, it doesn't matter. It's just too damn bad because I already know that
it's part of the regimen.
That's right. And I know, just like you, once I get through with it, I'm going to feel a whole lot better about the workout and about how I feel that I made myself do it, even if I didn't want to. So I tell my people, unless you're dead, you better be here, period.
Hey, exactly. And that's just us giving it to them.
That's exactly right. Okay. So, I want to get back to your diet a little bit more.
Okay.
Your protein. Now, do you, I know what you're going to tell me, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you count grams of protein?
No, sir. I just eat. Like, I'll be honest. Like, the only thing, I was thinking this since you asked. The only thing I ever measured, to be absolutely honest, it was the first year I measured my rice, just to make sure. And that was it. Other than that, I just go by eyeball and I just listen to my body. Like, so I know if I need a good 8 ounce chicken breast or if I need a little lighter, you know, I go with how I feel, because that hasn't steered me wrong yet.
No, so it hasn't. Like,
so I kind of just do it that way. Like, so I don't measure, I eat, I don't limit myself for that.
Okay. So when you're working with your clientele, do you take this, I mean, how do you instill, do you just assure them like, okay, listen, you don't have to weigh your food. You don't have to count your calories.
No, they, not that they don't have to weigh it. I make them personally measure it out so that they know what they're getting. Cause I make them track it.
Okay.
Like, where I want them to at least roughly know what they're getting so we can see for how it responds to them. I know how it's going to respond on me, so I don't necessarily measure, but I do have my clients weigh, not necessarily weigh, but measure out what they have so that we can see what they're getting in, how much they're taking in, because each person's intake is a little different. So I do gauge my clients kind of on a rough base of what they're taking in for them.
Okay.
And so that we can adjust it from there. But
okay,
if I answered your question correctly.
I think you did. So when they come to you, they show you this plate that they're eating. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, sir. What I end up having them do is I have them fill out like a food log and have them actually handwrite it. I want them to see what they're writing. And I have them give me the breakdown of what they have and how much. That way I have them weigh it out that way. But I personally don't say, hey, you're strictly on a certain number. I don't give anybody a certain number to follow. I just give them a rough 2000 calorie diet, that kind of what we are natural to. And I tailor it for each person for them, because each of us are different on our intake.
Right. So you have a starting point and then you go.
Yes. And then I just customize it per person from there by how their body responds.
And how about them? Do you suggest they do cardio? Is that optional or?
That is optional. And I tell them, because I have clientele that can that can follow strictly to my plan without any extra, per se, what's the word? Any extra additives. Like, I try to keep it clean and simple and straight because I know it works. Like, but if they want to add a couple things and add some fillers in, then yes, I tell them that they're going to have to do cardio if they want to eat a little more of the fun stuff, as I would call it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't necessarily can eat the chicken, rice, and asparagus or whatnot that we eat four or five times.
Yeah.
So if they're going to deviate a little, I tell them then they're going to have to do the cardio to offset what they're taking in.
Yeah,
so they do know that they will have to if they don't just stay strict.
Yeah. And are you having them like with protein or anything? Do they know how much protein they're taking in, or do you know that about them, or that's not an issue with
Yes, sir. I know how much they're taking in by how much they, by their logs, their food logs.
What would you say?
Because they got to write it out and document it for me, and I make them tally it up.
So what would you say the average intake of protein is, and what would be not enough protein? I mean, if you're not concerned about the amount of grams, this blows my mind because this is what I'm all about. And if so, how do you know? Because listen, everything in our body is made of protein. Everything.
Exactly.
Okay. And so when is the protein intake too low before you say, hey, so-and-so, you need to kick your, you know, have an extra.
Well, because I'll know by how they're writing it down, by how many grams they're getting a day. And plus, I make sure that they get protein in the morning, at lunch, and dinner. I always tell them they got to have at least 4 to 6 ounces, 6 to 8, depending on size and everything. So I always make sure they have a balance in each of their meals that they get.
And how many meals are they eating when you tell them this? I'm going to get down to the bottom of this here. So
depending on where everybody is, I make everybody completely, like, my theory is I completely go back to the basics, and I don't want to use this word, but it's like I reset your metabolism. I try to kind of get back to the basics, because everybody is so worried about getting that 5-6 meals. So I tailor everybody back to the beginning and have you do your breakfast, have you do lunch, and have you do dinner. And then I have them track it. And as their body responds or we hit a plateau, where we're not losing or we're getting whatnot, then I say, okay, then that's when I break their meals either in half and add another one so we get that extra bit. So I change it that way. If
okay.
That answered
yeah, you have your yeah, you have your way of doing it. I love that. I love to really connect with people and how they do that because I think it's really interesting. I'm going to go back to so I'm taking three meals in. I'm your client right now. I'm taking three meals in right now, Samantha, and you're telling me that I should be eating, let's just say, 6 ounces of chicken or protein. Chicken is going to be my protein. Is that okay with you?
Do what, sir? Sorry.
I said 6 ounces of protein. It's going to be chicken. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if I'm going to eat chicken, let's just keep it simple. I'm going to eat chicken in the three meals, and I'm going to eat 6 ounces in each one of those meals. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So 6 ounces times 7 is 42 grams of protein of chicken. 42 times 3, 49, that's 120 grams, give or take, of protein. All right. So and that person that you are, I guess, do you take into consideration how much they weigh? Because we,
yes,
because,
I do.
Because generally what the sort of the norm is, or the general rule of thumb is, and especially when you're training in bodybuilding, you should take at least a half a gram per 1 gram or 1 pound of body weight, and even exactly. Higher than that, as much as 1 gram. So are you factoring in that some, which, because how do you, yeah. Are you factoring
that in? Yes, I am factoring because, to be honest, I have personally only have about one bodybuilder that I've trained. Most of my people are everyday clientele. They're the normal people. I don't necessarily have the bodybuilder that wants to gain or cut and lose. Yeah. So typically my clientele is more about they're wanting to get in shape. They have that 15 pounds up to they're wanting to lose 100 pounds or more down. So everybody's more different on that. So I tailor it more to making sure that they have just a nice balance. Because my clientele is a little uniquely different where it's not all by customizing the making sure you have just enough protein grams. So I make sure it's a good balance for each one depending on what stage that they're at. So I personally am more the bodybuilder that I train. We train myself, and I have others that have worked with us, but mainly it's the everyday person. Gotcha. And I love giving back to them. And that is what I thrive in, getting to see them have the results, getting to watch them. I had one, for example, just go, I did a sit up. I did this, or I'm seeing things after not seeing, or I've been to so many trainers and you're the first one that has had me lose weight and not put weight on me.
Yeah.
As a woman, you know, as a woman, we don't want to gain weight when we're going to see somebody. God. So after her years, it was such a blessing to have someone trust in the process that is completely, you know, just a normal everyday person to see you trust in your process and follow it and actually see those results. And they're like, wow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're in my studio, the majority of the people that are in there, I would say 75, maybe 80% of the people that are in there are there for, I call it a fitness program. And this is where you're at, basically. Tighten tone, condition, loose meshes, lose, you know, anywhere from 15. Yeah, that, I know where you're at with that. Because I'm the same way. I work with those types of people.
And it's exciting. Like, it's really neat. And then they love watching you, like, transform yourself.
Right. Oh,
you
I know. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I can do it. I was like, well, get here and do it with me. And they're like, oh, really? I can't have that. I got to cut out my wine.
Yeah. They're like, this stuff's getting too real now.
I'm like, I can cold turkey the wine. I'm good. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. No, my clients used the same thing. When I was getting ready for a show, I kind of felt sorry for them because their program automatically got more intense. I couldn't help it.
I was in that mode. Hold on, who's training who?
Exactly. It's like you're getting the collateral damage in this case, you know.
Yes. Funny.
I guess it happens to all of us, you know. I've heard the same story over and over again. I also, something else that is interesting is that you don't take any supplements either.
I take nothing.
You just really believe in that diet that you're on.
Yes, it's the diet. All I take is a liquid vitamin. Other than that, I just do everything through my foods and my workouts, and that is it.
I think that's really smart that you do, that you're able to do that, because, you know, too many people, you know, it's a supplement, and yet you would think that so many people, their supplement is actually their main course, And the food that they eat, their food that they eat is actually the supplement, you know?
And I'm like, oh, yeah, because I still have people ask, so how many shakes do you have? I'm like, none. I eat all my food. I have solid.
Yeah. I need to be reprogrammed because I'm one of those idiots that just, I have a drawer full of supplements, Samantha, and I keep cutting them down and out, and I'm still taking, I think I'm
you
taking
still
too
have
many,
a handful of them.
I'm taking too many of them, I think. I just, I need to be, I need help. I need a shrink.
Hey, it's just like slowly just take it out. Don't rebuy it once you're done.
I sound like some of my clients is I've tried everything, Samantha, and I just can't do it. It's sick.
It's baby steps. It's baby steps. That's what I tell them. It's just a little step every day, sir.
I need to go to rehab for to get myself off supplements, you know.
Hey, that's me and coffee, okay? I love my coffee.
Yeah, actually, I do too. That was one of those things guilty pleasure, I guess. Okay, yes. So you have a line of clothing?
A line of clothing. I am actually fixing to have actually a line of clothing come out. I am in the works on it. Yes, I will have a fitness line coming out very soon.
Okay. Tell me about that, because my first question to you is this. I'm a marketing guy too. And the first thing I ask is what makes your product so unique? Because I ask myself that all the time when I'm developing a product. You know, everybody and their aunt is saying the same thing. These personal trainers that are out there, they're the best thing since sliced bread. We're all saying that to some degree, yeah. It seems like. But what is it that really makes your line unique?
My thing is all about, for a woman, is feeling comfortable in your sportswear as you're walking in town. My main thing is to make sure that a lady feels comfortable from the backside when you're bending over, when you're stretching, when you're squatting. Because there's always that uneasy feeling as a woman is, can you see through it? Is someone staring? Yeah. You know, we never want that persona on us as we're coming. Like, that is like my big thing is I don't want anybody thinking I'm out to show the world everything. So my big thing on my fitness line is going to be, it's going to cover everything, be very classy, and be able to showcase everything without having that fear.
Yeah. Okay. And what
it
about
has to be natural?
Yeah. What about the, you know? Yeah. One of the things I got into, you know, bodybuilding at one time, I didn't care how I dressed, except all I cared about was how I looked on stage. In fact, a lot of people would tell me when I was in those days, they said, you know, you look like you're homeless the way you dress, because I just threw stuff over me like a tarp, you know? I mean, I'm at that point, I'm like, you know, off season waves, like,
yeah, as long as it's comfortable, yeah. It doesn't matter.
But now that I'm not in the sport, my motivation,
hey, it's what we feel comfortable in.
Yeah. So, but after I got out of the sport, I didn't realize how powerful and how motivating the stage was to get my ass in shape. Pardon my French, but it's true. I mean, I knew that I was going to be in a pair of bikini underwear. And I was going to be judged by what seemed to be the world, you know? So that was a powerful motivation for me to get up on stage. Well, you know,
exactly.
So when those days were over, it's like all of a sudden I was having a hard time getting in shape. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I competed for 15 years. I know how to do this, but yet I can't seem to get myself back into shape again. I like the idea of it more than actually doing it. I got into fashion, Samantha, and I taught myself how to dress. I realized there was a correlation between training. For me, there was always a core group of exercises that always worked. I learned through my fashion that there's a core group of clothing.
Exactly.
That you can, you know, it's like a capsule wardrobe, and you can, less is more, in other words. So, okay, now this is regarding.
Exactly.
Okay, this is regarding your line being comfortable. What is it that is. What's the fabric? Is it stretchy? Is it wicky? What is it that's going to make them feel even more comfortable? Because I do know this now from my fashion. Because
I have not 100% chose it yet, because I'm still in the process of picking the exact one that I want.
Okay.
Because I haven't found that perfect one yet.
Okay, I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to help you with this, Samantha. You got to be cotton in there. It's got to be cotton. And if you really want to go the best cotton, it's going to be expensive and it might not be worth it. It may not be able to sell it, is Egyptian cotton. I'm telling you right now.
I actually have heard of a couple using that, or and then someone else was using bamboo.
Egyptian cotton is the most comfortable cotton in the world because it's a very long fiber, very comfortable. It's breathable. I don't like this stuff with too much polyester and, you know.
No, I want soft. I'm all about texture for me.
Yeah. Now, I also think that you need to have a little stretch in there, you know, because when you're moving
a little bit. Yeah, have a little bit of that.
1 or 2% of that stretchy material, but it's got to be cotton, Samantha.
Oh, it will definitely be cotton because I'm all about smooth.
If you do the Egyptian cotton, I'm going to buy some of your wear and I'll wear it at
home.
Perfect.
I will so let you know once I figure it out and send you a link.
That's my 2 cents as far as...
No, hey, I'm all about getting everybody's opinion and kind of because y'all have all been there and kind of done your line as well.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing that I learned about fashion, and this is, I'm only trying to correlate this to you and what you're doing, is that I've never been more comfortable than being dressed up like I am. Even when I usually wear a tie and I'm way more comfortable in my dress clothes than I am in my normal wear, to tell you the truth. So I learned how to dress myself. I've written this book called From Homeless to Handsome and Then Some, and I taught myself how to dress, and I'm very flabbergasted that I can actually be this comfortable in dress wear. So I know that you can do this in fitness wear.
Oh, very much so. That's awesome.
If you don't use Egyptian cotton, I'm never going to talk to you again. I'm joking.
Okay, I will look into it. I will definitely look into it.
All right. So let's bring us back and let's bring you back now to your stage. I want to know about how you got into the sport. You're in a figure category. Is that what you're
doing? Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So how in the world did you make that transition from athlete to getting up on stage like that?
Well, I had always participated in sports and everything growing up. So quite naturally, training and everything, I was always kind of in the fitness and stayed in shape and everything. And I always wanted to bodybuild. I had went to the branch and had wanted to do it. And finally, one of my ladies asked, "So are you getting ready for a show?" I'm like, "No, but I can." So Jason asked me, my husband goes, "Well, go look and see." So we had 10 weeks before the branch wore in here. And I just got ready and said, "Let's do this."
So what kind of, Jason trained you, but did he have background as far as, you know, what kinds of exercises to do, or was it just kind of feeling your way through for the first time?
No, he has been in the fitness industry 15 years prior to me. He was in it before I was. And then he was in livestock and different things before that.
Gotcha. Okay.
And raised animals and stuff.
All right. Let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian power burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
All right. Now I can only tell you this, and I don't know how it was for you, your first time out, but my first time on the stage I was so freaking scared. I don't even remember, you know, back then we had to do like a 90 second posing routine that was choreographed, for goodness sake.
Exactly. At least I didn't have that, because I'll give you my experience after you.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. So, and mind you, I should preface this or go back and tell you that I used to drop classes in high school or college when there was anything that was an oral presentation. I was, believe it or not, I was too shy and timid to do that kind of stuff.
I was a little shy. Don't worry. worry. Yeah. I still get a little nervous beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. And I think nerves are good because it tells you you're ready. But anyway, so, you know, I'm doing all this posing and practicing and all that kind of stuff. I'll never forget, I was backstage and they called my name to be next. I mean, I was like still doing like my routine before I went out. Samantha, the minute they said, Leo Casa coming to the stage, I forgot my routine. I had no idea. I didn't even know
where completely blank.
I didn't even know where to start the routine.
Oh,
and
my
goodness. No, and I had started, I practiced every day for months on end, and I couldn't remember a damn thing. And I went out there on stage, and I don't remember anything. And I came off, and people came up to me afterwards and said, oh, your posing routine was so good.
And you're like, I don't even have a clue what I did.
I don't have a clue what I did. I'm not kidding you. And that just kind of tells you that practicing, your body it relies on that.
It does.
In those kinds of situations, yes. Right? Anyway, that was my first harrowing stage routine. And one of probably the best information that I got from a guy that kind of helped me along the way. He was a gym owner. He said, look, when you're on stage, go do your routine slowly, because most people, they're nervous and they,
right?
And they do it so fast. It's like, wait a minute, where is she? She just got on stage. You know, that was good advice. And he says, even when you think you're going slow, go slower.
I've heard that too.
That was good advice. Anyway, that was my first experience with the stage. Now tell me about yours.
Oh, so I was getting ready, and of course, being a lady, it's like, oh, you have plenty of time. You're all good. So I go to the ladies' room. I'm standing in line, right? There's this long line, and this thing had powerlifting. It was a full shebang show. You had your powerlifting, your bodybuilding, fitness expo, everything, and a big sports complex that we have here. And oh my goodness, so I'm in the bathroom, and I'm waiting in this long line. They hear second call for, I guess I was in C class, B class, whatever it was. And I'm like, oh my God. So I drop everything and run. Okay. I'm like, I'm standing in the ladies' room. So I'm yelling at my husband, and they just had like the little curtains like hung up. Yeah. So yeah. I'm yelling, and I go, I need my shoes. So he throws me my shoes.
Oh my.
I'm like putting them on. The guy goes, the expediter looks at me and goes, he calls my number. I almost missed stage time. So I just went out there. I was not pumped up, nothing. I just went out there, did that 10-second quarter turn.
Yeah.
Don't remember a thing. And then, so at the end that night, and this kind of stuck with me for my first couple of years, I got, when they did the callbacks to line us back up for the evening, they go, oh, such and such, you made it back. You almost missed stage. So I completely was like thrown out there. So in the evening, it was like, oh, I was all pumped up, ready to go. Yeah. And they're over there asking, so how'd you place? What place did you get? I'm like, I didn't. I got seventh for my very first show, because I wasn't. And Branch is like, because it was Branch Warren, and he's like, well, it looks like you did. Well, come back next year and do my show, because he was sitting at the corner eating as we're like pumping up, and I'm over there doing my push-ups on the stairs.
Yeah, I know.
And I just kind of went out there, and I'll never forget. So I always told everybody, it's like, take a deep breath and just find your expediter and find out when you're going. It's my best experience, and I'm the fast walker too.
Yeah.
And it's like, take your time. And I'm like, I'm trying.
It's hard. And one of the things I learned about bodybuilding shows is they never go as planned. They never go as planned. Because I had the same thing happen to me. I was like, I have plenty of time. All of a sudden, the guy that was helping me goes, man, you guys are going on stage right now.
Exactly. And you're like, what?
How did that happen? Yeah. Well, thanks for telling me. Anyway, I think it's kind of funny, because we all have those times and those experiences. That kind of makes
it. And it's just like you embrace it, and it just makes it even better for the next one. It's like, all right, find your expert. And that's when I started finding them. And I will stay there. And it's like, all right, how long till we go?
Exactly.
I'd rather ask you than not ask you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the thing about it, and maybe you felt the same way as I went along, and, you know, it's like anything else. Repetition is the mother of skill. First-hand experience, it's hard to beat that. And at the end of my career, especially probably the last couple of years, the stage became so comfortable for me. The game slowed down. You know, as an athlete, when you first get into another level, when you're playing a higher level, the game at first is kind of fast, because you're not used to that pace. But the more you're in it, all of a sudden the game starts slowing down. Well, that's what happened with me. I could go out on stage, and I really did enjoy performing for the crowd. And I could actually think and smile. And I could, you know, I wasn't uncomfortable in that environment anymore.
It's like it kind of became second nature.
It was so easy to actually perform now instead of just going through the routine. There's a difference there, right? And it makes you make the people feel that because they feel your authenticity. And it was a whole different ballgame. I was really addicted to that. And I just find that really funny because, like I said, when I first started this thing, I dropped classes. And here I am now really comfortable in front of people. And I even didn't know that I was actually a good speaker. And so you just never, I guess the moral of the story is you just never know what you're capable of. And we're capable of doing some amazing things that will just kind of just take that leap, I guess.
It's like stepping off and taking the jump and going for it. And
all in.
It's all in. It's like we're going to jump feet first and just catch me.
Yeah, it changed my life forever. I tell you that. After that first show, it really did because I come from our family was in a dairy business, and I was the next one to take over the dairy. That's just the way it was in our culture. And I did this show, and at that point, that show got me into personal training. I left the dairy business, and I never looked back. I mean, that gave me my career. I've been in personal training ever since, and I've competed. I've been so lucky to be able to go all over the world and do seminars and posing exhibitions because it was really big back in the late 80s. People were doing that. I don't know if they still do that kind of stuff, but I mean, guys were making money and their living off of seminars back in those days because there was no social media. So it gave me a life that I'm so lucky. And I'm sure that you probably feel the same way because you're doing what you want to do, right?
I am. I was thinking as you were saying it, I love this journey and being able to reach all the people in my community and then my online that's spread across the world, you know, it's always amazing to get to reach all the people, no matter where, what walks of life that they are. It's like I treat everybody the same, and I am very blessed and lucky for the people that I've walked through, the people I've met in the bodybuilding industry as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you just kind of embrace it and take it each day, and I'm very grateful for it.
No, I agree.
And can't wait to see where it comes.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is this, when you do what you love, when you're doing something that you love, you heard this before, I'm sure, you never work a day in your life again. And that doesn't mean that you don't face all the obstacles and challenges that come with it, because they do, but it's just that you look at it from a different lens when you're doing something that you love, as opposed to walking through life and hating to go to work, right?
It's like we enjoy it. There might be our ups and downs within the day and the struggles, but it's like we do enjoy our passion of what we do. So
yeah.
It isn't work. There are some days it feels like work, but then it's always good work at the end once
of course.
It's all come through.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I never forgot, because I've had some people over the years, I didn't really realize how much of an impact that I had on people's lives. You know, I mean, I'm into it and I'm, you know, I get myself in shape, but I didn't realize how big of an impact, because people will say, you don't know, Leo, how you changed you saved my life. I had people actually tell me that you saved me from where I was going on the, you know, and from that day forward, aww, I always kept that in mind, because you're changing people's lives in a way that they never thought that they could be. And how amazing is that to help somebody walk them through that and feel what you're feeling? I don't think it gets better than that.
It doesn't, because it's just when you do thank you, it means the world that you're like, all right, I'm on the right path and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it just makes you smile. Like you're smiling, as you said. It was like your passion, you're there.
Yep. Love it. Anyway, you know, and I can just tell you this, because I'm a lot older than you. I'm almost ancient compared to you, but I'm 65 years old, and I have to tell you,
it's just a number.
Yeah, I know, but believe me, it hurts more at 65. But anyway, here's the good news. I'm at this age, and I'm as excited about, you know, getting up in the morning and doing the stuff that I do now than I was when I was younger. It's even better because I appreciate it in a different way now because of my age, you know? And so we're both on a really good path. And listen, we're going to wrap this up, but would you like to, on the show, would you like to promote anything and everything that you're doing, and tell us where we can find you.
Okay, Facebook is going to be under Samantha Allen. Then okay. I have Instagram that is Samantha Allen 13, and only one A because I combined it all. Then I have a website that is Samantha's Total Body that has all my training programs. And that's about it. That's me and okay. package. If anybody wants to reach out, has any questions, feel free. You know, I would love to help anybody that wants to do it all natural. I really feel that, and a whole, just more people need to know it's out there and it can be done. And just to be positive and beautiful, and that more people can just embrace it and be happy, and that you can get your results. You know, you just got to push and stay motivated and dedicated.
That's a really good message to end on. And I have to tell you, you were somebody that stood out to me, and your husband, you guys stood out to me when I was at the Vegas event, and you guys have a lovely sort of energy around you and about you.
Aww.
And I appreciate that. And
Thank you.
I appreciate the fact that you came on and talked to the old man.
And oh, you're not old, sir.
I had a good time. I don't know about you, but anyway.
I had an amazing time.
Listen, if you ever like are promoting, I know you guys were getting in some promoting. If you ever have something that you'd like to come back on the show and talk about, feel free to reach out and we can do this again. You were going to say something.
How weird, I wasn't sure where, because a couple of my ladies wanted, and a couple of people wanted to ask, like, how did they go and look at our podcast?
Oh, you can go to YouTube and go to Serious Growth Podcast. And we're on the other platforms as well, right, Charles? Mm-hmm. So which ones are we on? We're on YouTube. What else? Instagram and YouTube under Serious Growth.
Okay. Under what I'm already following.
Yes.
And now will it be live today? Will it be a few days? I didn't know if y'all edited it and everything.
Yeah, we're going to edit. It usually comes out within 2 weeks. And I'll
okay, I just wasn't sure. If you'll just send me a link.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
And we'll post it too because I want to share it on, because I'm on Instagram some, but I'm mainly on Facebook. So okay. I want to be able to share it on both platforms.
You got it. Yeah, well, when it does come out, well, you'll be the first to know.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much. And I hope you and your team have a great week. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Sounds good. Say hello to Jason for me.
I sure will. Thank you, right. sir. Have Bye a great
now. One. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.